Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to slay another day? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, come and knock on my door. There's been a vampire waiting for you, ready to kill her and her and him, because it's, you know, Three's Company. Awesome.
Yes. I was so excited to see John Ritter on this episode. We're obviously talking about season 2, episode 11, Ted. John Ritter comes in and plays the titular Ted. And, you know, 3 seconds into meeting this guy, I'm like, okay, we got the baddie. I'm ready. I'm good to go.
He was just supposed to be like a good old guy that wanted to cook for his family and take a wife. You know, a dash of misogyny and a sprinkle.
Just a dash, yeah.
and a sprinkle of control.
Yeah, he's like the quote-unquote nice guy, but 90s version.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think that, of course, it is very hard when you are a product of divorce or, you know, even like if you lose one of your parents and your parent brings home a new beau, it's very alarming. I'm trying to think, like, where did we see this previously? I keep thinking about like Now and Then. Like, you remember when Samantha's mom brings home kind of like the same sort of guy, just like a guy that's like a little bit too friendly and you're like, fuck off and fuck off. Like, you
yeah,
don't know
usually
me.
He's not like a robot.
Typically not. But I don't sometimes. Know. If, I don't even know if this guy, I guess he is a robot. It was convoluted as some of these like extra special Buffy episodes are, but we're gonna get into it. And yes, of course, John Ritter of Three's Company fame. Now, did you watch Three's Company as a child watching Nick at Night?
Of course, it was one of my favorites. Yeah,
yeah,
doesn't age well, but I did love it at the time.
Yeah, I liked watching it too a lot. So familiar with him from that. I don't know what else he really
well
did.
There was like, was it 10 rules for dating
my teenage daughter.
Or yes. eight simple rules is the name of it.
You just added a little two extra rules.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a little dash of extra rules. Yeah. So I mean, that's mainly how I know him. And yeah, as soon as I saw him, I was like, oh, look at that. Look at him.
Yeah, I was just like, he's not going to be here for multiple episodes. So he has to be like a one-off guest star. And that means that he's probably the baddie.
Yeah.
And we'll get into like realizations on what possibly was going on with him. But I know I've said earlier this season, Sarah, that anytime the story strays away from Drusilla and Spike, it's usually not my favorite. For me, it feels like a little bit of a dip in quality. Not this episode. I loved this episode.
A lot of people say it's a skip.
What?
Yeah, that's a lot of people say it's a skip.
I loved this episode. And I don't know if it was because like John Ritter, who I love, was like the guest star.
Yeah.
Or if I just like the like idea of it. Or
do you like robots?
Not like especially.
Because the other episode that was kind of outside of the plot that you liked was also a robot episode.
Oh, the Jackden one?
Yeah. So maybe you just have a thing for robots.
I think that one was more about the ridiculousness of it.
Sure.
But I can't believe people say this one's a skip. I really enjoy this one. I don't know. I found it intriguing because obviously Ted doesn't die, right? Like we think he dies at one point. And I really liked that Buffy had to contemplate like what it would be like to kill a human, and like she'd have to go to the police and all of that. Like I felt like that felt really real, like in a way that shows that usually contain vampires and other creatures, they don't always address that side of it. And so while it was a bit of a break from the norm, I enjoyed this one for taking a step away from the Drusilla and Spike storyline.
Yeah, she was definitely feeling the pressure of killing. And I think like a lot of the times, like I feel as though like maybe she pictures her life as a video game and she has to like kill the baddies.
Right.
But when you make mistakes, you know, innocent people die. Like how many times do superheroes in the pursuit of, you know, killing the baddie accidentally kill civilians? Like it does not happen. And then having that on your conscious is, I'm sure, terrible. I don't even like killing flies, let alone a whole ass human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially if it's someone that is dating your mom, you know, that's tricky.
Yeah. So Buffy comes home and she comes across her mom macking it with some rando.
This is disturbing on just so many levels, because the idea of just seeing your mom make out with someone is already gross, but then you walk in on them making out and it's this stranger you've never even met before. What the hell?
Yeah, I mean, I would be quite surprised too. Obviously, Joyce never shared with Buffy that she was considering dating, but this guy, Ted, she met him because he's like a computer fix-it guy, some sort of IT guy.
Software or something. At first I thought that might be his thing, is like, oh, he's a schemer. Like he's like the, you know, he sells software that hacks your computer and then gives you viruses and then he offers to fix it or something. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah. A swindler.
Yeah. That's what I felt like at first when she said that.
Yeah, but that's how they met. He was fixing something or selling something at the gallery, and they just hit it off. And, I mean, it seemed like a whirlwind romance, really, because she, we see later in the episode, even says the L word.
Yeah, it couldn't have been that long where, you know, Buffy says, oh, you've been working late at the gallery. Like, this explains that. So it seems like it's only been a few weeks that maybe Joyce has been seeing him, but she's really smitten with him immediately. he is trying so hard right out the gate, which immediately for me was like red flag city. Like he's trying, he's being like so extra nice to Buffy's friends.
I don't know. I think that once again, it really just is, he is trying to win her over. So I feel as though as the kid, you're like, ew, stop trying so hard. But like as the adult that's trying to like get your new girlfriend's daughter, teenage daughter to like you, like how are you not going to try extra hard?
That's fair. I think I'm more speaking to as a viewer of television, you know what I mean? I immediately get the ick from this man. And I'm going to say that I planted my flag, like I'm looking at the timestamp now, about 3 minutes into this episode, mm-hmm. when the first mention of mini pizzas is uttered, I was like, there's something going on with the food. There's something going on with the food. Xander was like too into this food immediately. We get like cookie mentions later. Like the more food that this man produced, the more I was like, he's drugging them. There's something in the food that makes people like him, which is why he so badly wants Buffy to eat the food. I just knew there was something up with it. Now, what it ends up being, I was a little surprised by Sarah because I thought it was a little bit more involved than like slipping some ecstasy into some food. I thought it was like some sort of love potion, if you will, of like, ooh, people will love you if you eat their food.
No, it was just a little dash of being high out of your mind.
Yes.
Just a smidge.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Everybody can do their own thing. If you want to be mm-hmm. on E, then like, you know, power to you. I have not partaken. But I have some close friends that have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
like you're always blaze. No, I'm just joking.
Before every podcast, I just take some ecstasy and I'm good to go.
Yeah.
He's getting everyone on his side, right? He's offering this like fancy software to Willow, who's, you know, we know she's a hacker, so she loves that. Xander loves the pizza, so he's really in on this. And Ted is really, again, going above and beyond trying to get Buffy to be on his side. And Buffy doesn't like this. And again, like, this is why I love the show, because maybe she is right about, like, she gets a vibe, right? She's the Slayer. She gets a bad vibe from this guy. But she's also a teenager whose mom is now dating, and she's probably likely going to hate anybody that her mom is dating at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course she's going to hate anybody, especially because it seems as though the divorce or the separation at the very least happened within the last year or two. It's all very new for Buffy. And it's also like very like sad and sweet that she's just like, the perfect person for my mom is my dad. It's just like very like youthful, you know what I mean? So
it's a very like child of divorce thing to say, childy, right?
Yeah. So yeah, she's definitely feeling it, but everybody loves him right away. Between Willow, because he can talk to Willow about the computer stuff, or Xander because of like all the good treats, and mm-hmm. Buffy's automatically like very suspicious, and she says as much, and everybody's like, no, like he's great. This motherfucker even shows up at the school.
This is not great. I didn't like that at all. And I do love how Buffy takes out her anger though. Like Giles is standing behind her and she's slaying a vampire, and it's like, he's like, you could probably stake him now. No, you're going to keep punching. Okay. All right. You get out your aggression, Buffy. And I really liked the moment they had together, because again, if we're looking at Giles as like the surrogate father for Buffy, he could tell something is bothering her, and she doesn't necessarily want to like come right out and say what it is. She's speaking in subtext in a way that he understands. And I don't know. I just like the way he gives her the space to be like, oh, do you want to talk about something? You don't have to, but like, if you want to, I'm here. And she's just like, no, I don't want to talk about anything. You know, very typical teenager response.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she's going through it. She doesn't want to talk about it. I mean, honestly, he would probably just tell her that he's a nice guy too. And how frustrating is that when you have like this instinct? Exactly. and everybody's like, he's fine, he's great, like, well, I don't know what you're saying, like,
yeah, we need like some sort of proof, right? Especially because her friends, like you said, Xander and Willow are both like very much pro Ted. And can I say, another glimpse at this vending machine where nearly everything is upside down. What is wrong with these people? Please, for the love of God.
Is it that they, if it was right side up, then they would have to pay like Dorito?
No, if they're showing them, they have to pay no matter what.
I guess so. Or maybe Doritos pay Buffy. Who pays who in these situations? I don't even know.
Well, yeah, you are signing on to like a deal to feature someone's, I don't know, right? It's, you're not getting the rights. I think it's like they pay Buffy.
They pay Buffy to advertise the Dorito.
Yeah.
What kind of Dorito are you?
I'm a Cool Ranch girl all the way. It's my favorite. Yeah. Ugh. Of course, that's your reaction.
Gross. I hate Cool Ranch.
Are you an OG? Like, the nacho cheese?
I do, but like I don't like cheesy fingers. It just creeps me out. But if I had to pick a alternative flavor, I like the what's it called? It's like the sweet and spicy Thai, whatever. It's the one in the purple bag.
Yeah, no, I can't. I can't do the spice, you know. So
yeah.
Not for me.
Weak. Yep,
I am weak. So then it, like you said, Ted shows up right behind her. And again, this is just like boundaries, you know, like I feel like he's already crossing boundaries. Mm-hmm. And he says, oh, I'm just like working on the software in the guidance office. And he gives Willow the upgrades that he promised her on these floppy disks, which is really funny.
And love it. Floppy.
A little bit of a flashback in time. This is where I was like, gosh, damn it. Like, Xander, you're not being a good friend, because Ted invites them all to mini golf over the weekend. And Buffy lies and says, oh, we have that thing, which is like, gosh, how many times have we seen this on television? Oh, I have that thing. It's like, if you're going to lie, at least be specific about your lie, because it seems so obvious here. You know, you don't have anything going on.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, you can just say, oh, we have those tickets to the water park.
Yeah, already had a plan with friends. We're going swimming. I don't know, whatever. Yeah. But he's like, oh, I'm going to make a picnic basket. It's going to be great. And then Xander, oh, you have the pizzas? And Ted's, oh, I'm going to have cookies too. And Xander's like, I hate that thing. I don't care about that thing. We're doing mini golf.
How can you transport mini pizzas?
They're not going to be good. Those do not travel well. I'm sorry, because either what's going to happen is they're going to get soggy because there's not enough ventilation. Or they're going to be cold.
Yeah.
It's going to be like a Lunchable by the time you get to eat it.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, I just feel as though they're not going to transport well. But I mean, also, you love mini golf. How would you say no to mini golf, Jess?
Oh, it would be really hard for me to say no to mini golf. Like, if I'm Buffy, I do love mini golf, so I'm struggling to say no. But I think if I'm like Willow or Xander, I'm having Buffy's back. And
you would say yes to mini golf. You love mini golf.
I really love mini golf, especially if it's like a mini golf with a promise of like food as well and like a picnic. Like, oh my gosh, just my dream.
It's a hard offer to resist, I suppose.
It is, yeah. Especially because this is how you know Ted is trying so hard, because not only is he inviting Buffy, he's inviting all of Buffy's friends as well. So they all agree to go.
Buffy's friends are nice to Ted, so of course Ted is going to invite Buffy's friends.
We get the reappearance of Miss Calendar this episode. Jenny, I was surprised, to be honest. Like, I did not think we were going to be, I mean, I don't remember what I said back when her and Giles broke up, but I was a little surprised to see them back together so quickly. It's only been a few weeks, and I thought this was so cute, Sarah, that Giles makes up some stupid reason about like her textbooks being in the library to like go and see her, and she calls him out on it immediately. I just love that, because it felt true to both of these characters.
Yeah. I feel like she was being a little mean this episode at first. She's like, stop giving me eyes. You make me feel pathetic. And it's like, oh, well, maybe you are being pathetic.
I kind of get it, though, because if you tell someone, I need space, I need time away, and they don't really respect that. Like, I can get being a little bit annoyed, especially when the next time you see them, it's like they're looking at you with like pity in their eyes. It's like, well, this is why I didn't want to see you. Like, I can understand where she's coming from.
I just thought that she was a little rude to Giles, who is just trying to make sure that she's okay. Mm-hmm. And also, get a life. If you are going to hang with the Scoobies, then you can't like have like a 3-year bad reaction. Get over it. Move on.
I think the problem is he's poking around, basically being like, do you feel better yet? Are you okay yet? Like, are we good now? And I think because he's doing that, it's making her feel worse that she's not doing better yet. Mm-hmm. It's like when someone, I'm just trying to think of like how to put it. It's like when you go through something and then suddenly everyone you talk to has pity in their eyes when they talk to you, and it makes you feel worse that you don't feel better yet. Like, that's how I feel like Miss Callender feels. And so while I think we can agree Giles isn't doing anything necessarily wrong, like he's just checking in because he cares about her. I could see where her frustration is coming in, especially because they work in the same school. Like, they're obviously bumping into each other, and then he's going out of his way to come in to see her. And she feels like an asshole for treating him like she does. So there's really a no-win situation.
Yeah, we're all losing here.
Mm-hmm. What do we think of Buffy wrapping up Angel's hand as he's just lounging away?
I'm glad they're having true intimacy. I mean, it's really nice that they can touch, especially after watching Pushing Daisies, where the two protagonists can't even hold hands.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice that they can show their affections towards one another. They're so in love. It's so nice.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. She's spending her time complaining about Ted. And he's like, please, can we talk about anything except Ted? Like, I don't want to talk about Ted anymore. And then they make out.
That is great for both of them. Look at them.
Mm-hmm. He seems to be healing okay.
Yeah, I mean, he'll survive, I think. Hopefully he won't get an infection. That would be bad.
Can he get an infection?
I don't know. A vampire infection.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
So they go to mini golf. We're at mini golf now. It's the weekend. It's mini golf time. And again, this guy, he made the picnic, and he's like, oh, I bet all the guys are lined up around the block to date you, Buffy. And Willow nearly spills the beans about Angel, which thank God she doesn't. Apparently, Buffy is called Book Cracker Buffy. That's what they call her.
Yeah, that's her nickname. And Buffy is a cheater, which I like about her because – honestly, like, mini golf is a little sucky, and I don't like losing, so of course I would just put my ball in the hole. Who cares? You're like John Ritter. You would be like up my ass. Like,
I mean, I wouldn't smack you in the face or anything.
You probably would. You probably would.
I wouldn't be pleased about it.
I can totally see this happening, of me just cheating, because I don't give a crap.
You definitely would cheat. You would okay, I have 0%, like, you definitely would cheat. You definitely would.
Yes, and?
I mean, the thing, this is like a very typical tropey thing, right, though, where they have this confrontation, it's just the two of them with no one else around. And what really raised my red flag, and where I thought this was going, was, so Ted gets on Buffy's case about her grades, saying like, oh, if you're reading books so often, you must be getting better grades soon, right? And Buffy's really upset. And she says to her mom, like, why does he know about that? And she's like, oh, well, he asked. And she says, he wants to know everything about you. Sarah, where I thought this was going is I thought Ted was some sort of sleeper agent and that he was using Joyce as a means to get to Buffy. And when know everything about you, I thought was like, oh, no, he's trying to get intel on her. Like, that's what his prerogative is. That's what his job is. So I was like, I was like, there's something bigger going on here. Turns out that's not what's happening.
No, I love whenever I watch these episodes, like, there's not one thought in my head. I'm like way too focused.
You're just vibing.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I'm not trying to solve anything. I do all of my detective work when I'm on the podcast with you. When I'm watching, I'm just watching. I'm along for the ride. I have no idea what's happening.
I'm thinking. I am thinking about where this is going.
And I was like, hey, she's cheating at mini golf. That's so funny.
I just don't understand, like, how everyone isn't bothered by what Ted is doing. Saying, like, oh, like, there are rules and right is right and all this other stuff. Like, it's like he's being... First of all, like, I know I'm joking about, like, I wouldn't.
Okay.
I wouldn't like to cheat. But, like, this is, I wouldn't be doing.
Case.
Yes, because we are friends and we know each other and we have for years. If I'm Ted, a new person to the situation who is trying to impress my new girlfriend and her daughter and friends, I'm not being the stick in the mud like he is. He's being stick in the mud.
You know who would slap me if I cheated?
Who?
Your husband.
Okay, he would not slap anybody.
He Will is the most just man in the world.
Like, yeah, he cares about rules more than I do. Yeah.
He is like the Libra amongst Libras. Like everything has to be just and balanced.
Yeah, yeah. And he would be upset. And the
I would just think it's so funny. And then he'd be so mad at me.
That's all true. All of that is accurate. Yes.
Yeah, I can envision it happening.
But Ted says, oh, right is right, wrong is wrong. And he calls Buffy little lady, which really got under my skin.
little lady.
And he, again, it got really weird because he's like taking his, I almost called it a mallet club. What the hell are these things called? What's a golf club?
It's a golf club.
Putter.
Yeah.
He's taking it and he's like whacking it against his leg as he's telling her off.
That was weird. And then,
I'm now thinking it was like a robot tick or something.
I don't know. Well, wasn't it clanking? I think it's supposed to like indicate that
he's
like
metal.
He's metal. But I didn't catch on to that the first time. I was like, that's weird. Moving on.
I was really confused. I didn't assume he was a robot, but I was like, this guy has anger issues. And he also
says, like, I'm gonna hit you with my club. I'm gonna smack myself so that you know it's happening.
Yeah, this is the loud metal noises coming from my legs. He says, I don't stand for that kind of malarkey in my house. And I was like,
if
wow,
you were Buffy, what would you think the metal sounds were?
Like, a fake leg. Yes. Just has one fake leg. That's it.
Yeah, he is a robot. Peg leg.
I certainly wouldn't assume he's a robot.
Yeah. Oh, you're a pirate. Okay.
Yeah.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
And then he said, this is where it gets real bad. He says, do you want me to slap that smart ass mouth of yours? If it's me in this moment, as soon as my mom and my friends come up and he's like, who wants dessert? Oh, I'm like, God. This motherfucker just threatened to smack me.
You would be like, him. Mom.
I would.
Mom.
Yes.
Oh my
yes, God. Because this man just threatened me. I'm definitely saying it then and there because the problem is, and what we learn later, Sarah, is if you let Ted talk to Joyce first, he's going to convince her, oh, no, this is what happened. You have to be first to tell your story.
It's the ecstasy.
It is. Yeah. And then this is where I was felt, because before I was just iffy on the food. I was like, this is a little off. This is a little weird. Then he breaks out the chocolate chip cookies. And I was like, nope, this motherfucker's doing something with the food. Something's going on.
Maybe it's like brown butter cookies. Maybe that's why.
They looked good. They looked really good.
I love a good chocolate chip cookie.
I do too. I especially love when they're soft. Don't give me a hard chocolate chip cookie. I will throw it in your face. I will smack that smart ass mouth of yours if you give me a chocolate chip cookie that's crunchy.
I want a soft chocolate chip cookie. Don't hit me.
Yeah. And Buffy looks really upset because he goes from like, I'm gonna smack that smart ass mouth of yours to who wants cookies?
Me, I want cookies.
Yeah.
I would like the cookie. You know what? I think that I would let the robot dad, you know, yell at me about rules if he made me cookies.
You would deal with robot dad threatening to smack you.
I mean, for cookies. Any dad is better than no dad. Yeah.
We have enough daddies on this show, Sarah. Ready? We have Daddy Vamps. We have Daddy Angel.
No.
Daddy Giles. Daddy Giles.
Yeah.
I still think Giles could have a secret daughter somewhere.
They don't have cookies, though.
I mean, anybody could have cookies. So let's go buy cookies.
Do you have cookies?
In my house currently? I don't think so.
Yeah, you have cookies.
Well, again, more food from Ted when Buffy wakes up the next morning and finds something, I don't know, whatever, some sort of breakfast food on the counter. Sticky buns. That's what it is, which they sound really good.
I don't want your sticky buns.
Not if Ted made them. I don't want anything he makes.
No.
And Buffy tries to tell her mom, he threatened me yesterday. And she's like, no, honey, that's not what happened. I talked to Ted and he said you cheated. And what, mom? And fucking what, mom? So what if I cheated? He threatened to smack me across the face, mom.
Yeah. Just because you cheated doesn't mean that it's okay. You can be threatened to be slapped.
This is ridiculous. I liked Joyce that one time, Sarah, that one episode where Spike and Drusilla came into the school during the parent day or whatever, parent-teacher conference day.
Yeah.
I liked Joyce that day. But Joyce, you've known this man for like a few weeks. This is your fucking flesh and blood.
It's the ecstasy. You don't understand.
Are they just constantly consuming his food?
Yes. Every single It's a combination. It's not just ecstasy. It's a combination of stuff. Willow said it's something with a D. I don't know. I don't know anything about drugs.
Okay, I can't find this out immediately because there's too many links, but either way, it's a little and then she says she like loves him. She's like, oh, it's the oopsies, I just slipped out, I guess I do. Oh, he's so dreamy, and it's so hard as a single mom. Well,
bad for her then. I mean
especially if your daughter is the slayer and burns down schools and stuff, like, sure. But don't date people who threaten your daughter, you know? Come on.
Yeah. Well, she doesn't believe her. So.
No, I'm sad and I don't like it.
Who would?
And the worst part is, when she says, oh, mom, he threatened me, she goes, he said no such thing. Ma'am, I told you a man threatened me and you laughed in my face.
Yeah. Joyce does, because Joyce's inhibitions have fell to the wayside because of all the sweets. So,
yeah. And Buffy's like you. She says, you know what? I did cheat. I kicked my ball into the hole. Put me in jail. He totally wigged.
You know what? There is nothing wrong with cheating at a game. I cheat at most games that I play. I do. Who cares?
What's the point of playing the game if you're going to cheat? There are rules for a reason. If you're not going to play by the rules, then what is even the point in starting the game?
Because then I get a leg up. I don't know. Because it's fun that way? Because it's funny?
It's fun for you.
I mean, I'm sneaky enough that you probably wouldn't realize.
I don't really think you're as sneaky as you think. You are.
Yes, I am. I mean, I have evidence of
9 times out of 10 when you're trolling me, you have a specific face you make. Mm-hmm. Also, there were times when you would try to feed my dog without me seeing while making eye contact with me.
Yeah.
And it was very obvious.
Well, I mean, like, that wasn't really cheating.
I mean, when I told you it was, I mean, if you look at cheating as a form of breaking the rules, and I told you not to feed the dog at the table and you did it anyway, it is kind of similar.
Yeah. And I regret that because Winston just became a monster after that.
Exactly why I told you not to feed him at the fucking table. Oh my God. It's like I'm having a conversation with my father where I tell him, Dad, don't do that. You're going to get the dog begging at you. No, no, no. And then the dog begs. Oh my God, your dog is unruly. Wonder why. Anyway, moving on from that, I get to go on a tirade about that.
I mean, so could I.
But yeah, Joyce says Ted is gonna make dinner tonight for us, so please come home at 6. And like a sentence before that, Sarah, she's like, oh, Ted says you're just gonna need time. And it's like, okay, well then maybe let's not do like 3 Ted events in one fucking weekend, Joyce.
How many Ted events is too many Ted events? 1?
I think 1 in like 5 days is plenty.
I don't know. Okay, so he's coming over for dinner.
Yeah, he's gonna come over and make them dinner.
They had mini golf, right? And yes. What else was the third one?
Well, an accidental one ended up being when she walked in on them making out and then they all hung out and had pizza. Right. So that was like 3 nights in a row.
That is a lot of Ted. Yeah.
That's too much Ted.
It is too much Ted. And even if he wasn't a robot just looking for love, then it would be a lot.
Exactly. So Buffy, of course, is complaining to Willow and Xander. They found more cookies. And again, Sarah, I don't know, were you catching on at this point that the food was like fucked in some way?
Oh, yeah. No, totally.
Okay, good. I was like, if you didn't notice at this point, they're really taking the baseball bat and whacking you over the head with it.
No. Of course I know. Okay. I definitely knew. So, I mean, they love the cookies, though. What's not to love?
They're really good. I mean, they do look like a, have you ever had, okay, so you know Chips Ahoy. Have you ever had the chewy ones, the ones in the red package?
Yeah, gross.
Why did you just say ew? You don't like them?
They're kind of gross.
What do you mean they're gross? They kind of taste a little bit like preservatives in a way.
They kind of taste like freaking clay, but yeah.
Clay? No.
They do.
Mm-hmm. They don't.
Yeah.
I don't know why I was like, oh, because these cookies look like that. That's why.
Go to Whole Foods. Go to the bakery section.
I'm not going to Whole Foods.
Go to Whole Foods.
The closest one is so far away, and I'm not going there.
Go to Whole Foods. Go to the bakery section. Get the brown butter cookies, chocolate chip cookies. Bellissima. So good.
You just turned Italian.
Cookies. I'll tell you what. That is the best store-bought cookie I have ever had. So great, good. Well,
I'll keep that in mind if I ever end up in a Whole Foods.
And then you go to the berry. You get a slice of the berry chantilly cake.
Oh, you love that cake.
That's my favorite cake.
My mom made a coconut custard pie yesterday.
Yeah.
It was so fucking delicious. And yeah. I'm not even that big on, you know, I'm not a huge custard fan, but it was really good.
Yeah.
So as they're having this whole conversation, Cordelia walks by and Xander says, oh, hey, Cordelia. Hey, Cordy, nice outfit. And she's like, oh, so funny. And he's like, what are you talking about? He's being very genuine. And I mean, I get it because I thought her outfit was very, very cute.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is kind of blowing their cover because they're supposed to be nasty to each other.
They're supposed to be under the radar and she's getting pissed off about this because she wants them to be quiet. And Sarah, it is time for a ship name for them.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay, so what are our options? Zordy? Okay.
Zordy or Cordander. And obviously Zordy is better.
Yeah, agreed.
So Zordy is what we can go with.
Okay, that's all we have. We have 2 options.
I mean, well, what else would you say?
Okay, Zordy or Cander?
Yeah, but Zordy is so much better than Cander.
Yeah, I like Zordy.
And can I tell you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maybe we should put that. Should we put like the ships in our rankings as well? Because now we have a couple of them.
We have 2, but okay.
No, no, we have at least 3.
Who?
Don't Giles say. And Miss Calendar. They're okay. Back together.
Sure.
Cordelia and Xander.
Mm-hmm.
We know Willow and Oz is going to happen.
Not yet.
And Angel and Buffy.
Maybe at the end of the season. I think it's too soon.
Okay, but let me just tell you, I'm all in on Zordy. I am all in on this. I there is nothing I love more than like an enemies to lovers storyline, especially when they're like a little nasty to each other and like they have to keep it on the DL, so they're like mean to each other in public and then they're like, let's go make out in a closet. Okay. I love it.
Yeah, I really like it too. I mean, like, I'm into it. I think that it's like very fun to watch them like hating each other and play around. I don't know, like, they would be, if we were rankings, if they would be on my top. I think I'm still, I mean, we'll just say, like, I think that, like, for me, I'm still into Buffy and Xander. No, sorry. Woof. That was a slip. Buffy and
Angel. The way my head nearly exploded when those words came out of your mouth. If this was a visual podcast, people would have seen steam just coming out of my headphones.
Sorry. I meant Angel. Buffy and Angel.
I'm bored by them. I'm over it.
No, I'm not bored by them. I mean, I guess like Drew and Spike, maybe.
Oh, certainly. Certainly.
But he's kind of mean to her.
Yeah, but that's their thing, I think.
But, yeah, I still think I'm, like, a Bangle girl.
I'm not. I'm a Zordy girly all the way. I'm here for this. I love this. I especially love when he's like, no one's going to find out. And then he goes, do you want to go make out in a closet? And she just kind of, like, rolls her eyes and sighs and goes, okay.
It is pretty funny. I think it's, like, I think that you like it because – like, that sort of, like, mean girl, like, nice guy dynamic is something that maybe you can relate to.
Are you calling me a mean girl? I'm not mean to my husband. I'm very kind to him, actually.
Maybe.
I think the reason I actually really like this pairing is a couple reasons. Yeah. I think, one, Xander is not going to be obsessing over Buffy anymore, which
true.
We love. Leave her alone. Two, I like that. I'm such an asshole.
Why?
I kind of like that Cordelia's mean to Xander.
Yeah.
So I like that aspect. I like the difference in their like popularity status, right? Like, I think that's intriguing that like they both feel like they are punching below their weight or whatever. Like, they both feel like they're dating beneath them because Xander thinks Cordelia's an idiot and Cordelia is like, Xander's a loser.
I don't think that Xander thinks that Cordelia is an idiot, actually.
He calls her dumb all the time. He called her like a puppy dog for letting in Bugman.
Rude.
Like a dumb dog. That's what he called her.
Cordelia's so, like, not dumb.
I think she has like very good social smarts that are underrated. I think she's not book smart, but I think she has something that is crucial to the Scoobies that isn't already accounted for with any of the other Scoobies.
True.
And I like the we got to keep it secret. We can't let anybody know. So there's like tons of reasons why I love this pairing. I hope that people don't find out for a really long time. Like, I hope this goes like a whole season. Will it?
No,
probably not.
Never.
But I love that.
We've never seen something like that.
Can I plant my flag though on like what I think is going to happen with them? And this is my headcanon. This is like my dreamland. This is where I am. Okay. So they're going to be just like, you know, making out on the side, going in closets, blah, 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 right? And then what's going to happen is that one of them is actually going to date someone. Maybe it's Xander, maybe it's Cordelia, one or the other. And the other one is going to be like bothered, but not willing to admit it, right?
Sure.
And then what's going to happen is there's going to be maybe in the finale, maybe in like some sort of two-part episode, there's going to be a situation in which one of those two is in danger because Cordelia or Xander are in danger and the other one has to save them. And they're going to be like, finally, I'll admit I have feelings for you. And it will be great.
Okay.
There you go.
You're about to go on Spooky Spaghetti and write some fanfic.
This is the Zordy fanfic. I love this pairing. Okay. And I really hope they don't ruin it.
Yeah.
Because
I don't
really
think that I like anything as much as you like this pairing.
The thing is, the reason I like them is because I feel like it's so much fun versus Bangle, where it feels too heavy and serious and I don't like it.
Yeah. Well,
I like the fun light. Levity, like, woo, we're just two little kids making out in the coat closet.
Oh my god, get off the ecstasy, seriously.
I know, he had an ecstasy cookie before we started.
So
they're trying to keep it secret, keep it safe. And Buffy's asking Willow to do her hacking extraordinaire.
Yeah,
it's time to hack.
Yeah.
So Buffy goes to visit Ted's workplace, and it turns out that he's like a really impressive salesman. He's selling away.
He is so impressive. He is a salesman god. He is on the top of his sales team.
They have a whiteboard where they like keep track, and he's like excelling.
He's number one. Mm-hmm. And basically Buffy's trying to be like a good little spy, and she like talks to some rando, and he's like, nobody beats Ted, like best salesperson 9 months in a row, like you can't even compete against him. And Buffy does some snooping. Oh, and he says the guy, the rando, is like, oh, like at least Ted is going to be away for a while for the wedding, and which of course like upsets Buffy.
Yes, because it's like they've only been dating for a few weeks, and this man has planned a wedding that either Joyce knows about and hasn't told Buffy, or he hasn't even like proposed or brought this up to Joyce, which is like very troubling. And when she goes over to his desk, which has nothing on it except for one single frame with Buffy's mom, she recognizes the photo. It's the one from the fridge, and he folded her out of it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I would too. Bye, Buffy, see you later. At least it's not, I mean, to think of what it could be, it could have been the opposite, like only a picture of Buffy. How creepy would that have been?
Well, that's where it's like, okay, so he's not obsessed with Buffy. You know what I mean? Like, at least I had that relief of like, okay, so he's not going to Joyce to get more intel on Buffy.
Yeah. Yes, he is not going to be like a creepy predator towards Buffy. That is true.
Yeah. And this man gets under my skin, Sarah. Yeah. You know me. I'm never passive aggressive. I am aggressive. Okay.
Yes.
I don't deal with the passive aggressiva. And this man, Mr. Passive Aggressive, they're eating dinner together, and he's doing grace. And like, he says, we ask that you bless this house and help the people in it to be more productive, more considerate, and more honest. Amen. Did you just read Buffy in a prayer? Sir, that's not very godly. What's wrong with you? That's rude.
I mean, at least he's saying what he needs to say.
Does he need to say it, though? Does he? Does he? You're not her parent, sir. Far Maybe. From it.
Not yet.
Oh, soon. God, I hate this. I hate this so much. And he's like, oh, how was school today? Did you learn anything? Like, he's really trying to be like Daddy Dearest, and it's very irritating.
I've never learned anything from school.
You were ending the sentence there.
You know, like, I got asked that question so often from my family, and it's like, fucking nothing. Like, I passed notes with my friends and daydreamed and just tried to survive on the mean streets of high school. Like, there is nothing that I learned ever. I promise you that.
I was the oversharer. I was like the, you didn't even have to ask me how school was because I'd already told you about it.
No. I Every keep detail. Everything on the inside.
No. Yeah. No, there's nothing on my insides. It's all just because... blurted out everywhere.
Oh, the lives we've lived.
And he, again, he's probing her to eat his meals, and I was like, Buffy, don't do it, there's something in there.
Wait, what did he make? Did he make like a meatloaf and like a broccoli mashed potato?
It was like, they didn't even say. There's salad on the table, and whatever they're eating is like in a bowl, so maybe it's some kind of casserole. Ooh, or something.
I hate casserole, but I really love eating my food in a bowl.
Bowls are underrated. Can I also just say another thing? Like, you know, when I eat a salad, I chop up the ingredients very tiny. I like tiny ingredients in my salad.
Chopped salad. Yeah.
A little chopped salad. eating a salad with a spoon is the way to go.
Oh, weirdo.
No, because listen, if it's chopped up so tiny, you're not going to fork everything. You're never possibly going to get a piece of every single thing on a fork.
I fork it, and I fork it hard, yeah.
You fork it all the way.
Yeah.
Buffy just is having no part in this. She's not eating. She's sitting arms crossed at the table, and she blurts out, "Are you guys engaged?" And Joyce is like, "No. Where did you get that idea?"
From the person at Ted's work.
And that's what I would say if I'm Buffy. Again,
well, she can't say that.
People drive me crazy when they don't actually just say all the stuff, because I'm like, I would just be blurting everything out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No stuff. Buffy storms off and is like, "You're not my real dad."
Then
she goes to the park and is like looking for vampires. And then she comes back. And Ted is like sitting on the chair in her room and is like,
"In the dark.
I see that you snuck out. That's not very good of you." And then they get into like a little kicky punchy. And Buffy punches/kicks Ted. I mean, Ted.
Well, he smacks her first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he falls down the stairs. Just like one of those like life support commercials. "Oh no, I've fallen. I can't get up. I need to hit my button.
Life alert.
I need my life alert." And he's dead. And I was like, "Oh no." And then it gets dark. We get like a 10-minute period of like it being really dark. Like everybody at school knows. Joyce is mad. She admits to the cop that she killed him. Her friends are like, "Why are you at school?" Like it gets like very creepy, creepy sad.
Well, that's okay. Yes. And that's where it was like very much a tonal shift, because this has never happened before, where like Buffy is at the cops and like she has murdered someone. Like someone was murdered. Yeah. And she's trying to explain, and she looks guilt stricken, right? She looks awful.
She feels bad.
She feels terrible about this, but she does say, like, "He threatened me, he smacked me, he took my diary, he wouldn't give it back. And of course the cop is like, "You don't look like you've been hit at all." Well, because she has superpowers. Yeah. So
I don't think "he took my diary" is like a good enough excuse for murder. You know?
I mean, no, but if he smacked her, it's self-defense.
That's true.
Yeah. And Joyce is just sitting there, like, totally just out of it, like, very much like, what the fuck is going on? And so when they drive home, it's like, they just are sitting silently. Like, she's not being charged, but they are going to do, like, an investigation. And Buffy goes to school the next day, and I, like Willow, was like, "Girl, what the fuck are you doing here? Like, this seems like a terrible spot to be in a situation like this, because, first of all, you're, like, traumatized, and second of all, everyone is talking about this, so it's not like you're gonna get any, like, respite from it."
How'd it get out?
I mean, I think as soon as there's like an ambulance and a body bag coming out of her house, all the neighbors are talking, and then
Very like Edward Scissorhands, where like everybody is like out and about in the streets trying to figure out what's happening.
Yeah. And poor Buffy's really going through it, because she's like, "My mom won't even like look at me. I don't even know what to do. Like, all of this just feels so awful." She blames herself. She said, like, "I lost my temper." And Willow says, like, "Oh, well, at least the paper says he fell, you know." And Xander assumes, well, he must have been something, right? Was he a demon? Was he a bug? Was he a vampire? Like, what was he?
I mean, Buffy assumes so also. And she says, "No, he's just a human," which is awkward.
She looks, and like, again, credit where it's due. Sarah Michelle Gellar really, like, sells it. I think she plays the emotionality and the guilt really, really well in these scenes. And this is why I really liked this episode. I mean, I don't know anything about how the public received this episode at all, but I really liked it because it did stray from the norm, where Buffy thinks she killed, like, not an innocent person, but a person, not a creature. And not just that, but her mom's boyfriend. Like, this is a big deal. The police are involved. Like, this is a huge fucking deal. And it's not handled lightly. Like, I feel like a lot of these types of shows would handle it. So that's why I really, really liked, like, the realism of it.
Yeah, she's definitely feeling the weight of this. And kind of like what I said earlier, I think it's something that like we see a lot in like superhero films, like their powers are so great that like sometimes real people get hurt.
Yeah. And Giles even comes up to her and he says, like, are you okay? Like, if you need absolutely anything, like, please let me know. And of course, the police are there investigating this and asking questions. And it's like, oh, they're going to look at her records. And poor Giles doesn't even know what to say to her. Like, I, you know, he's at a loss, but he knows he needs to say something to make her feel better, but he doesn't really know what that is. And so Willow, Xander, and Cordelia, the remainder of the Scoobies are on the case. They're like, we need to figure out, there has to be something going on with him, you know? Yeah, like,
what's his secret? We need to figure it out. But when Willow's looking, like, it seems as though, like, everything's checking out clean.
Yeah.
Very suspicious.
Yep. And Xander is like, oh, more cookies.
Oh my God.
I found more cookies.
Yeah. And then this is kind of where like Xander's saying, oh, like everything's going to be fine. Like I'm not worried. Like you shouldn't be worried too, which makes like Willow very suspicious because she's like, what is wrong with you? And she takes a look at the cookie and then she does her sciencey thing. And then she's like, oh my gosh, there's like all these drugs in these cookies.
Yeah. Ecstasy is in these cookies. And so that's why everyone is like so happy and lighthearted after they eat them.
Yeah. Like their inhibitions are down. They like their, I guess like awareness. And of course, like Buffy didn't eat anything that Ted made. So that's how she was not affected by all of this.
Yeah. Again, I really thought it was going to be like some sort of like love potion or something, but it wasn't. And Giles is going to go cover for Buffy for the night, which I really like, Sarah, because I know like there's a lot of times where we're like, Giles, you need to give Buffy a little bit of a little bit of a break here. Yeah,
Buffy's getting the break.
Yeah. Now she's finally getting a break and she goes home to talk to her mom and who's cleaning out a bunch of stuff from the kitchen. And it's really obvious that her mom is like very much like brushing Buffy off, right? Like Buffy is on the brink of crying, saying like, I didn't mean to hurt him. And her mom's like, I don't want to talk about this. I can't talk about this. Not yet. So please just go to your room.
Oh, and no.
It's like, it's so sad. Like, again, I feel like she does such a great job with the emotionality in these scenes of like, it is killing her that this happened. And you know, it makes her question like her abilities as the Slayer. Like, if I can kill a human, like, what else am I capable of? Like, I don't want these powers.
Also, I'm sure she's feeling like my instincts are off as well because I thought that there's something up with him and he's just a human. Like, what that means, like, I am really not in like a position to be doing this job.
Yeah, her vampy senses, they're off.
Well, I mean, yeah, she hasn't been honing them.
Cordelia at least found Ted's address, so that the rest of the Scoobies are going to go check it out. Giles is patrolling, and Miss Callender has followed him. And she says she wanted to apologize. She feels terrible for like how harsh she was with him the other day.
She should be. She was being a little bit of a bee. A lot of bit of a bee.
I mean, maybe a little bit, but I do think it was justified. And she doesn't get too far into this apology before, of course, a vampire shows up. Very, you know, obviously. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Obviously,
that's gonna happen. Surprised that she didn't go, oh, no, never mind. Like, it's too much. Blah.
You're so hard on Miss Callender. A demon literally was in her body.
Look, she, for the billionth time, she's a techno pagan. She's hanging out with the Scoobies. Like, you know, don't get in the game if you can't play. Just stay out of it and like continue to like Google or whatever.
Buffy's up in her room. Her mom nailed her window shut, or at least she thinks it was her mom. There's fucking Ted behind her, and it's like, this motherfucker's alive. What the fuck?
Yeah, that was a little surprising. And he's like, hi, I am Robot, but also I've been alive the whole time, and the intern found me, blah, 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 blah.
Well, first of all, he calls her little lady again, and then he does the thing, like, don't we have something to say? Are we sorry?
I'm very sorry I killed you.
Sorry, Dad. I really hate this. Like, do we have something to say? Please and like, thank you.
I do not have anything to say besides you are done, Mr. Robot. And I think that he is ultimately winning this part of the fight, right? Like, it did not go that good for Buffy.
Yeah, he's like pushing her around the room. He says the salesman always like comes back and he's like,
wait, oh wait, she's like, what are you? And he's like, I'm a salesman.
Yeah. What the fuck? Like, okay, if we're gonna deduct points from this episode, that's where they lose me.
I mean, it's
like,
a little cheesy.
I don't really understand like where this robot man came from, why he's here.
Well,
like,
we don't even understand it and learn it until like the end of the episode, where I think it was like Willow who explains it. I don't know. Somebody.
It still
did.
Doesn't really make sense to me. But in the meantime, Giles is trying to fight this vampire. Miss Callender shoots a crossbow arrow at him. It gets stuck in him. He rips it out. But this, you have to admit, Sarah, this is badass of Giles to do.
I will admit that, Giles is badass. Like,
he
Miss
pulls
Callender
a fucking bow arrow out of his back and freaking stabs the vampire with it because it's wooden and poof to dust.
That's pretty cool. That is cool. Too bad Miss Callender's a little useless.
I mean, yeah, she shouldn't have waited until they were like, you know, skirmishing together to attempt to shoot him. So Ted is choking Buffy. So she grabs a nail file and stabs him in the arm. And then we see like a bunch of circuitry and wires. And he says, that wasn't playing fair, Missy. He really does love the little ladies and the missies.
Yeah, because he's from like the 1950s. He's a 1950s robot.
Yeah, and he starts glitching out at this point and saying things that don't really like contextually make sense.
Yeah, he's like, put the butter on the table, put the butter on the table. It's like, what?
Yeah, so he knocks Buffy out and he goes downstairs to talk to Joyce. Meanwhile, the rest of the Scoobies find Ted's address and they're like, this is really weird. Like, it doesn't seem like someone really lives here.
Yeah, there's nothing
like
there.
He's been married a couple of times, but like
never
divorced.
Yeah. He's a black widow.
Yeah. He like seems to be ageless.
Cause he got married in like the 50s or something like
1957.
That.
Yeah. And again, Cordelia, this is Sarah. I feel like you and Cordelia have this in common where what you would bring to the table is like, wait a minute, that rug is so, it does not fit in with the style of the rest of this place. That's
very
weird.
Suspicious. Yeah.
And it turns out there's a reason that it's hiding a hatch door.
Yeah. We got to go down the hatch door. Mm-hmm. There is mysteries down there. And that's where Ted lives. Ted lives under the floorboards. Why? I don't really know, but he does.
Yeah, it doesn't make a ton of sense. But speaking of Ted, he sees Joyce in the kitchen. She nearly dies of a heart attack seeing him. He's like, don't worry. It's okay. It's all right. I'm all right. They said I was dead for 6 minutes.
They said I was dead for 6 minutes. If it was 6 minutes and 2 seconds, then I would have been brain dead. It's like, oh, okay. You got really lucky then. You got so lucky. All right.
It's so ridiculous.
And he's like, I'm ready to marry you. I am ready to start my life together. And she's like, oh, you should really talk to Buffy. Fuck Buffy. Fuck Buffy. I need you. And he's like, oh, and then he starts getting very misogynistic. He's like, I don't listen to women. It's like, oh, yeah. Okay, Mr. Robot. Like, since when are you like, I don't know, like this like evil 1950s, like, you know, douche, but
yeah, it's not great. And so the Scoobies are like checking out his like very vintage apartment down in the hatch.
Yeah.
And Xander opens up a closet and is like, we gotta go, but we don't see what he sees, but whatever it is, it's bad enough where he's like,
no, he says it's his first four wives.
Well, yeah, I think he says it. Does he say it
on their way out?
Doesn't matter. Yeah. On the way out. But it's like,
we don't get to see it.
No, we don't see it, but apparently he's killed his first four wives. So he's programmed to find a wife, but then he's such a misogynistic asshole that he keeps killing them. Is that the deal?
This is what happens. Everybody deserves love, even robots from the 1950s. All he wants is to find the perfect housewife. That's all he wants. He wants somebody to appreciate him, to massage his feet after a long day of selling computer parts. He wants his wife to bake bread and, like, take care of the children. But then why is
he – it feels like he's taking on those roles, though, right? Like, he's the chef. He's the one who cooks all the time.
I don't know, but my point is robots deserve love, too.
Okay.
He deserves to find love.
No, he maybe doesn't.
Maybe love times four, but he deserves it too. Oh, and then I guess, like, he just gets, like, very aggro. And then the wives are like, hi, stop, like, being aggro and aggressive towards me and abusive. And he's like, I'll fuck you up. And then he, like, kills his wife a little. And then he's like, oh, no, I just wanted love. Yeah. But that means that this wasn't my soulmate. So I'm going to go out on the search. I'm going to go to the apps. I'm going to go on Hinge. I'm going to do the speed dating. Next wife, let's go.
Yeah, he says, oh, you always leave me, but I, you know, I have all the clothes for you. They're always the right size. Husband and wife forever and ever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So he has all of his ex-wife's clothes for Joyce so that Joyce doesn't have to take anything from her previous life. And you know it's probably going to be, like, you know, like a 1950-style dress with the apron.
Yeah.
The red lipstick. The
very
curlers.
Smart house, definitely.
Smart, very smart house.
Yeah.
Very Pleasantville.
Yes, yes. So she obviously is, like, knows something is going on at this point. She tries to escape. He shoves her. He knocks her out. He's going to carry her out. And at the same time, Buffy comes to consciousness, goes into the kitchen. And, like a cartoon, whacks him with a frying pan.
The frying pan is the number one weapon against men. And has been.
It does work because it breaks part of his face off and we see the circuitry on his face.
Yeah. He's like, I'm just a robot.
I got a nice game of Parcheesi.
You want some Spam? Yeah.
So ridiculous. And he starts, like, you know, wigging out, sparks are flying, he's smoking.
Oh my god, stop everything now. Kiss me in the pouring rain, but not really, because then my circuits are going to go start exploding.
It feels like it was really easy to defeat him. Like, that's what I would say in terms of, like, a negative here. It's like, oh, two whacks with a frying pan and he's smoking. It's like, no one did this before. No one's ever punched the guy.
Is it a cast iron pan? Because those things are heavy.
They are heavy.
That would kill. That would kill. You know what? Even from the Flintstone days, you know, they all got smacked around and it hurts. Hurts bad.
Listen, they had to drive their cars without shoes and they're just running along. Like, their feet must have been calloused up the wazoo. When they went to go get a pedicure, they brought out, like, sandpaper.
Absolutely. Yeah. I watched the Flintstones, right?
Yeah.
Who didn't? Wait, when's the Flintstones? Yabba dabba do. Oh, we should go watch the Flintstones movie.
The live action one? That one's in the 90s?
Yes, of course.
How has no one recommended that to us yet? I used to love that movie.
With John Goodman.
John Goodman is literally Fred Flintstone.
He is. You want to hear something weird? Not be weird. I had, like, some weird daddy issues crush on John Goodman, like, hard, like, because I watched Roseanne and, like, I watched him throughout. Like, I was, like, attracted to John Goodman, like, unironically.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I mean, he's tall, I guess.
I mean, I liked what I saw.
I feel like I like John Goodman in that, like, I want to give him a hug.
Well, this is why the daddy issues kind of get, like, a little blurry, because, like, you kind of want them to be your dad. You kind of want them to be your lover. It's a little – it gets a little blurred.
I can't handle that you just said dad and lover in the same sentence. Okay. Buffy and her mom are planning what to do for the night, and they said, no, men. We're just going to have a night in and watch a movie or something.
Mm-hmm.
Buffy, I love that Willow has kept spare parts from Ted.
Well, you know, we gotta like utilize what we can.
Yeah,
I mean, he's not gonna need it anymore.
He
went to the great big junkyard in the sky.
Exactly. So they go into the library, all the Scoobies, and inside the library, Miss Calendar and Giles are making out.
Mm-hmm.
I love this for them.
I don't like her anymore.
What's wrong with you? She was a little bit snarky one time, and she had a demon come into her body.
I don't like it. I don't like it. I think he's too good for her.
You hated Giles like 5 seconds ago.
No, I was always very loving towards him.
So just lies. Just blatant lies, and the listeners know it. We have recorded proof.
You know what I've always said? Girl boss, gatekeep, gaslight. Gaslight, girl keep, girl boss. That's what you have to do. You have to gaslight, gatekeep, and girl boss. I'm currently gaslighting you to make you think that I always like Giles. And that is the definition of girl bossing.
Moving on from that.
You're nasty.
I'm nasty! Okay, you're nasty. Anyway, that's the end of this episode. Let's talk about do you want to do feedback first, or do you want to do character rankings first?
Your choice. Character rankings.
Okay. All right. Let's do some character rankings. Here, because we are midway through the season, we like to stop down, assess where we are with our characters, who we're liking, who we're disliking. So here is who is on the list in no particular order of who we're going to be ranking today. We have Buffy, Giles, Willow, Xander, Cordelia, Drusilla, Spike, and Angel.
Angel.
Now, do we want to do bottom to top? Move our way up.
Sure.
Okay. So, who is your bottom most ranked character?
Xander.
Same Z's. He's not, listen, I will say I've seen he's an better. Improvement. I've seen an improvement in him. I've enjoyed him more this season, especially as of lately. He's improving. All right, people. So even though he's the bottom of the barrel, he's not like the scum on the bottom of the barrel like he was before.
No.
Okay. Second from the bottom. I'm looking at this list and I'm so sorry to all the fans out there. I'm putting Angel second to last.
Boo,
yeah, he's just boring. And like,
he's not.
There's not a ton. I mean, the one saving grace he had was when he was like, oh, she likes it rough, Spike. And that was it. That's it.
Mm-mm, no, he's trying his best out there. I'm going to put Spike here.
Spike is here. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I suppose he hasn't had a ton.
Yeah, he hasn't had a ton
yet.
I'm holding a grudge against him, and that's my favorite activity.
Okay. Here is where I'm going to put Spike. And that's because I feel like he hasn't fully blossomed yet as a villain. So I think he has some growing to do.
Yep.
So who's in your third to last place?
Giles.
Giles. Oh my God. Gosh, controversial.
It's not. I've been pretty consistent.
No, you have been. gosh, I'm going to put, because Willow had a really great growth arc with the Halloween episode. So I'm struggling a bit as to where I should put her. I think I'm going to do Willow below Giles. So I'm going to do Willow here at fourth from the top.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you going to put forth from the top?
I'm going to put Angel here.
Angel, okay. After that, that's where I'm going to put Giles, I think. Yeah, I'll put Giles there. I'll put Giles there. That's fine. He works.
All right.
What about you?
Next up, I'm going to put Drusilla. I really like her dolls, and I like the way she whines.
And I think she's just a really fun character.
Okay. I agree with you. I have Drusilla next up on my list. I think she's like really, really fun. And for what little we've seen of her, I feel like every single scene she's like chewing the scenery as much as possible. So I love her for that reason.
You have
Buffy, Cordelia, and Willow left.
Yes. I'm going to put Cordy here.
Cordelia. Oh,
great character. Oh. Very funny. I enjoy her a lot. Yeah.
All right. Second on my list is Cordelia, which means that my top ranked character is still Buffy. I still love Buffy. So you have Willow and Buffy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Willow is second. Buffy is number one.
Yeah. Buffy's great. I think the thing is, it's really hard for anybody to beat Buffy because it's like, it's her show. You know what I mean? Like, she just, I feel like she has the most growth narratives just because it's her show. I don't know. I really love Buffy. That's it. That's the whole thing. And Cordelia has shot up in my rankings because she's hilarious.
Yeah. I would love to see the comparison from, when was the last time we did this? The end of season one?
The end of season one was the last time.
Okay. I mean, who do you have that information?
I probably do. Give me 1 second here.
I see the mid rankings.
Okay. Oh. Yep. I have them. No, I have them here. So the end of season one, we both had Buffy at the top.
Yeah.
Then you had Daddy Vamps.
Yes.
Then you had Willow. So consistent. If you remove Daddy Vamps, you're still consistent.
Consistent.
Then you had Angel. Then Cordelia. So Cordelia has moved up.
She moved. They switched. Yeah.
Giles and then Xander. So okay, that's consistent.
I am so consistent.
You're a consistent queen. Yeah. I'm a little less consistent. So I have Buffy, Cordelia, Drusilla, Giles, Willow, Spike, Angel, and Xander. Whereas previously I had Buffy, then Giles, then Willow, Angel, Cordelia, Xander. So Cordelia has like skyrocketed up.
Yeah. She took the rocket ship.
And Xander is still at the bottom, and Angel's like slowly falling because he's boring. Mm. So that's where we stand in our rankings. Let's get into some feedback. We did get an email from Tara, and she says, congrats on making it to the first of the 3 two-parters of season two. Each one has long-lasting effects on Buffy throughout the series.
Interesting.
Buffy is her favorite character. She says, I related to her the most while watching. For context, I discovered the show the summer between seasons 1 and 2, my summer between 5th grade and junior high. Apparently her first episode was the end of Teacher's Pet. And the scene between Buffy and Angel made her want to stick around. She had recognized Sarah Michelle Gellar from All My Children. She said she grew up in a small Midwestern town where I went to school.
Wait, I too am a Midwestern girly. I am.
No, you did not grow up in the Midwest.
But I'm currently a Midwestern girly.
Currently.
Yeah.
She went to school with the same people since preschool. She related to Buffy feeling like an outsider because I was the only one in my class that was an only child and had a divorced single mom. I know those seem like small things now, but in 1997, it was a bit polarizing. I also have a lot of the same coping strategies as Buffy when I'm hurt. I push people away and retreat into myself. Maybe it's because we're both Capricorns. Ooh, Buffy's a Capricorn. Did we know that? I don't think we knew that.
We might have. I don't remember.
It was comforting watching the show, and I'm glad I had it an Angel to watch through my formative years. The Angel series finale aired the month I graduated high school, so I really feel like I grew up with them. Both shows will always hold a special place in my heart, and as I get older and keep rewatching them, I keep finding new things to appreciate and enjoy. I hope you both will enjoy the journey as well. Well, thank you so much for emailing in, Tara. Definitely feel free to send us more emails. I'm really liking this season. Like, I feel like there are certain episodes for me that are like kind of like meh, but when they hit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I am not unfamiliar to television where it's best when it's like, when it's good is really, really good. And when it's like meh, it's meh, like more so than like, oh, like the worst. We always use to cite the worst episode of TV you and I have covered is Who's Afraid of Corey Wolf.
Oh yeah, that one.
Yeah, like that is like our threshold of, or like our bottom line of TV shows to cover or not cover TV shows, but episodes that we've covered. So we're nowhere near Who's Afraid of Cori Wolf.
No. I think like I would say like none of these episodes have been like bad in season two, because season one had the Xander episode that I hated. But none of these episodes have been bad. It's at worst they're like meh.
Meh. Yeah.
Yeah. Is where I would land. So let's talk about what we're gonna be talking about next week. The title of this is very strange. I don't know how I feel about it or what's gonna happen in this episode.
Yeah.
Season two, episode 12, Bad Eggs.
Bad eggs?
Eggs, yeah.
Maybe they're just being eggy. Bad eggs.
We don't know what that means, because that is not a phrase that anyone knows.
It's a phrase. Bad eggs. Bad eggs. I don't know. Maybe it's going to be like, oh no, like this thing hatched and it's like an evil bird.
I could see that happening. Is there a chance that it's bad eggs of like ovary eggs?
Jessica, get a life. Why would it be ovaries?
I don't know.
Ovaries?
Maybe Miss Calendar's like ovaries are drying up or something. I don't know.
Jessica, that is so offensive. Oh my God. My gynecologist said that you don't even have to start worrying until like, she said like 38 is when you have to start getting serious, because then you have 2 years before you're 40. So
that's how math works.
Yeah. Miss Calendar's eggs are young and fresh.
Okay. I hope so.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so that's next week, season two, episode 12. Then just to alert everyone, we are taking a week off after Bad Eggs. So next week, Bad Eggs, then skip week, and then we come back with the next episode. Sarah's moving. A lot of stuff's happening.
Yeah.
We need some time. So we're taking a week off. We want to give you all plenty of time's notice.
Recording early as well. We're recording on Saturday the 22nd if you want to send in feedback.
Beautiful. Yes.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. And that's our episode. If you want to send in feedback, shenanigaspod on Twitter and Instagram, shenanigaspod@gmail.com, shenanigaspod.com if you want to send us in a voicemail. We love to hear from you always. If you want to tell us like how you got into Buffy, what the like reception was to this season or these episodes in real time, if you remember that, that would be really interesting to hear. Or just generally what you're thinking about the episodes. In the meantime, I'm at the Jess Sterling. That's where you can find me on Twitter. You can also hear me talking about Schitt's Creek over on Talking Shit. And of course, Sarah and I are also finishing up Pretty Little Liars summer school this week with the finale, over on Whirlwind Podcast, where Sarah has plenty of other stuff going on.
Yeah. I'm still covering Previously on Shameless with Todd and Adam. In addition to that, we have all sorts of stuff going on, namely the Ren Faire show. We have Melissa, Brooklyn Zed, and Adam covering and watching that. Did you watch that show yet?
I've seen one episode, but that's all I've seen so far.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty entertaining.
It's wild.
I don't understand what's happening in it, but it's pretty funny. Yeah. So check that out. Really fun podcast. And in addition to that, we still have, you know, like Veronica Mars. We have Doctor Who. Something for everybody. If you like cartoons, we got some of that. So check out Whirlwind Pods for everything that we're up to. Get caught up.
Yes. That is all we have. So until next week, here endeth the lesson.
Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.